Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard about NDE? NDEs, that's an acronym that means near-death experiences. I'm not kidding about this one. Would you like to learn more about what happens when people are clinically dead but live to talk about it? Have you ever wondered about life after death? Haven't we all? Or have you wondered if there is a life after death? Can you imagine having an NDE, near-death experience, or a revealing that death is not the end of our existence? Tell me, do you know what a terminal illness does to a family? Have you ever heard about the white light? Now, have you ever heard about an amazing book called The End of Death? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? And are you ready to learn about NDEs? If you can answer yes, or maybe, to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, a success coach extraordinaire. He will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I'm pleased to announce that this show today is now live on Talk4Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio Talk with 50 million listeners and Blog Talk Radio with our show having over 1.8 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. Also, LinkedIn announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed last year. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He is a Brazilian-American researcher, writer, and speaker on paranormal phenomena. Based upon his own near-death experience and subsequent research, he is particularly focused on what pertains to the possibility of life after death. The depth of debate between belief and denial stands in evidence that this subject has always fascinated mankind. As a researcher and writer and frequent lecturer on reincarnation, NDE, OBE, and deathbed visions, my guest shares this fascination with his listeners, many who have shared their own experiences with him. Such experiences are capable of not only apprising his audience and his readers of the truth of their immortality, but also uplifting their hopes, faith, and awareness as to what they really are and to the greatness that we all are. He is now a Miami resident, and he has written a new book, The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife. This work is filled with extraordinary cases of his own frequent out-of-body experiences and personal insights. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show the author of The End of Death, Admir Serrano. Hi, Admir. How are you doing today?
Hi, January. I'm doing great, especially now, talking to you and to your audience. It's a pleasure to be here to talk, you know, share a little bit about our immortality.
Wonderful. Now, let's first, before we share our immortality, I would like you to share a little bit about your own personal success story, your journey. Where did it begin? Tell us where you were born. And would you share with us who some of your early mentors were?
Well, it's a long story until to the point that I got here. Briefly, I was born on a farm in Brazil, and in a one shack, a one room shack with dirt floor, no running water, no electricity, behind a cemetery. I was born in that coffee farm, and I lived there for a while, and studied, and a few years later, I ended up in the United States. It was something that I had read about the United States and so forth, so I wanted to experience life here. And so here I came. Well, mentors, I had many. I started working, I was very young, I was 9 years old, and I never stopped since, and don't plan to stop.
Ever.
And I learned a lot of from my bosses, simple things in life, because my life has always been simple but you know, filled with love from my parents and all that. Mm-hmm. And I had those. I also had a friend who later I worked with in several multinational companies in Brazil, and teachers, like university teachers and friends, and also the one that I especially great. He didn't live too long here on Earth plane. He died when he was 44, and that was my dad.
Oh, your father. Wonderful.
Yeah, my father, wonderful. Right.
Yeah, he was, and I find so often with people sharing their success stories that it always most likely goes back to their mother or dad, their first influences. Now, how old were you when you came to the United States?
I was 28.
28.
I lived in Brazil for 28 years, and then I came to the U.S. when I was 20. Actually, I turned 28 here in the U.S.
Okay.
Miami.
Now the topic is NDE, near-death experience. Have you yourself had one of these NDE experiences?
Not the NDE per se. I did have a brush with death. I was very young, and I was an infant. I don't remember that.
Uh-huh.
But what I have most frequently are out-of-body experiences.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And from my from these experiences, and then from my study of near-death experiences, they are like they're similar in some points. Like there's many features, including I describe one in a chapter in the book that gives all the detail. But the NDE, especially the what we call a full-blown NDE, that there are several stages from the moment that the person leaves the body, because there's a greater freedom of the spirit body in the case of NDE. So the person going through the experience has a much heightened, brighter experience with some very powerful spiritual consequence. Indeed, there are some features, but it's not as bright. But I know exactly when I read the descriptions, when I talk to NDEs, that's basically what happens to me during out-of-body experiences. Are we there?
Second time around can be better. Second timers try harder. Looking to have a rewarding second marriage? Any marriage. Read Successful Second Marriages by Patricia Bubash. She interviews a variety of couples that have succeeded in their second attempt. Each story reflects that the second marriages can be tough going, yet be the best of the best. Learn from these couples who share their intimate stories, how they struggled with difficulty and have thrived. Stories such as, "Our kids drove us apart. We separated 5 times in 4 years. 4 months into our marriage, my 85-year-old father-in-law came to live with us. 1 year into our marriage, I was diagnosed legally blind. Death of my eldest child brought grief, depression into our new marriage." Successful Second Marriages is encouraging, hopeful, inspiring. Available on Amazon.com in book form and ebook. Read Pat's musings at www.successfulsecondmarriages.com.
Nicholas Hazel is a senior member of the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor and author of Laughter, the Drug of Choice. Scientific research is discovering that our bodies only hurt when we don't laugh. For anyone interested in a laugh-out-loud collection of medical terms and poetical music, often at the expense of health professionals' love and life, Laughter, the Drug of Choice, is just what the doctor ordered.
Welcome back with my guest, Admir Serrano, and we're talking about NDE, near-death experiences, and OBE, out-of-body experiences. Admir, would you again share with my audiences when you had the first OBE?
Yeah, it was about over 10 years ago, and I'm pretty sure that many of our listeners have had similar experiences. And we all have this experience because we as a spirit, we tend to leave the physical body as often as we are sleeping or in a relaxed state. And I'm pretty sure that many of our guests have had, of our audience have had that too. You have this sensation, you know that you're leaving your body, or sometimes you see yourself out of body, but you're conscious of what's happening. So you can see your body laying in bed, or you can walk to your kitchen out of body, or you can go out, both in the physical environment and also non-physical environment. And to most people, it happens spontaneously, but then there's a way that we can train to have it consciously more often. And I'm pretty sure that even you, maybe there's some signs that we can tell that we are out of our body, or that we're getting out of body, or returning to the body.
Well, you know, there's I had it happen one time, and for me, it was rather frightening. Do most people react that way?
Well, yeah. When you don't know what it is, for instance, flying dreams, right? Mm-hmm. I have several flying dreams, and I know that, you know, it's not happening in my head because I see things outside, and then I go and I'm able to verify. But there is some signs, like there's this vibration that sometimes we feel the body, a muscular rigidity that in the body. And if you're not very familiar, you might get scared. But as you learn, as you read, you can learn to even derive pleasure from it, because when you learn, it's very pleasurable. We already leave our body every night, so what we need to do is to become conscious that we are out of body.
Okay, when we go to bed and have these amazing dreams, so many times these are actually out of body experiences, right?
Some are, especially those that you have that very vivid experience. You know, you were with someone. That is very common when a person has a dream with a recent deceased loved one.
Uh-huh.
So the person said, you know, I was there with him or with her, mm-hmm. and I could hold her, could feel even her heartbeat, her smell, her scent, all that, her warmth. It's so real to be a dream. Uh-huh. That's one type of out-of-body experience, because they know that it's real. And for us to have that great level of clarity, of lucidity, we have to have we have to be out of the body, because when we're inside the body, we don't have that level of lucidity.
Well, you know, I had this out-of-body experience when my first husband was killed, and about 10 days after his death, I had this dream where we had this exchange to complete our unfinished business, and I could remember every detail. It wasn't like, you know, sometimes you wake up from a dream and you wonder, did I dream it or what? Out-of-body experiences are very vivid, aren't they?
Very, very vivid. And you got me filled with goosebumps here the size of oranges. So that's,
yeah.
That's something beautiful. That's,
yes.
Our love, the ties of love never break.
Right.
Our loved ones that we love here, these spirits that are, that we're right now living together, they've been partners for many, many, many lives. So when death takes someone out of our sight, because that's all that happens, out of our sight, we don't see them because the physical body is dead. But the person, the spirit, is out, like such as happened with her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there.
Yes.
He was there. He never left you. No, he was around. So 10 days later when he was, because there's a new impact, a very impact, when depending on the type of death that caused. Mm-hmm. So he needed a few days to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
After those few days of adjustment, he can get back to you and show you. And he takes you out of your body, and he shows you, he takes you to his environment, where he is now.
Uh-huh.
And that is why it's probably many years ago, and you still have those vivid memories, because you were together, both in your spirit body. The difference between you and him at that moment was that he was completely out of his body because his physical body had died.
Mm-hmm.
And you were also in his spirit, the same essence, just as solid as he was, but you still have that this connection to the physical body because your job on earth has not finished yet.
Right, and that was his message to me. And this out-of-body experience for me happened 45 years ago, Admir, and it is as real to me today as 45 years ago. I think you have to, when you go through something like that, you have to realize that it is a gift that you are being given from the other side. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. It is a great gift. And a way, like your husband was telling you, here I am,
mm-hmm.
I still exist,
yeah.
And I still care for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there is this connection. And we are immersed in what we call the afterlife, which is all around us. It's not out there in some other galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
It's right around us. And our loved ones are always around us to protect, especially those that we have, you know, a great love, affection with.
Well, you know, so many people I've shared my story with, you know, they've wondered why it hasn't happened to them. Why is that some people can experience this out-of-body or near-death experience, and other people, they haven't a clue what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's right. It's very difficult to know exactly why, but
mm-hmm.
some people are more proner to do that. Leaving the body, we all do when we are healthy, just like we were now, and mainly at night. So
mm-hmm.
what we need to do is to train and to be conscious, to know when we are out of body, because we always get out of body. So we train to know it. During near-death experience, there's some that people that it's easy for them. It's not everybody. So adults, about 40% of adults who have had a brush with death say that they had a near-death experience. Children, about 70% who have a brush with death relate a near-death experience, because they're probably because of more innocent, not
mm-hmm.
still integrated, fully integrated with the physical body, so it's easier. But that doesn't mean that those people, they didn't have an out-of-body experience or near-death experience. They might have had,
mm-hmm.
and they might have, for some reason, forgot. Like, we dream every night,
uh-huh.
but we don't remember our dreams in the morning.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about what happens when we die, when a person dies and then comes back for a near-death experience. What actually happens?
In the near-death experience?
Mm-hmm.
The body has lost the vital functions, heartbeat, breathing, and the brain activity. So the body is like a corpse at that moment. So there's just a little bit of organic life. And if that body is not resuscitated within a few minutes, then definite death will occur. In that condition, like many cases, like we said, the person in a spirit or the spirit of the person then leaves the physical body. And normally, right after the heartbeat, the heart stops beating. So the person may have this feeling that she or he is leaving a physical body, then is out and feels this great freedom, and also sees that there that she or he still has a body that's solid and then able to hear the conversation and see what's going on in the environment, be in a, an emergency room, whatever they're trying to resuscitate a person. And then many times they see the blackness, white light, and then they travel through the tunnel and end up in a spiritual realm where they meet dead relatives, relatives who passed away who are still existing.
You know, so many people who are facing death, they worry that this actual experience will be painful. What happens, say, if someone has a violent, accidental death? Do they feel the pain from the impact of a crash or an accident?
Normally not. If death is like a sudden death for some reason, be an accident or whatever, the disconnection is fast. And there are many cases, and this is interesting. There are many cases of near-death experience in soldiers who were during a battle. And also, I also studied mediumship, and I studied communication from the other side of life. And some of them were soldiers. And they were in battle trying, like, attacking the enemy, and they got killed. They continued trying to attack the enemy. They continued running without noticing that the body had died. Because what we say that, you know, what dies, it's not us. It's the body that we're using. Because we are spirits. And as a spirit, we're immortal. And so what, it's not us. We don't die. The body that we are using dies, but we continue living, we're existing.
Wow. Spirits are immortal. What a wonderful message of hope. We're going to take a break and hear from my sponsors right now. And when we come back with Edmir Serrano, the author of The End of Death, How Near-Death Experiences Prove the Afterlife, we're going to talk a little bit about people who contemplate suicide and if that actually will solve problems. We'll be right back with Edmir Serrano.
Pam Evans has been married and divorced four times and lived to tell the tale with honesty, humor, and a heartfelt message. Check out Pam's first book, Ring Exchange, Adventures of a Multiple Marrier, where she shares her hard-won lessons about behavior, emotions, relationships, and her marriage partner choices. Learn more about Pam's road less traveled and how she anticipates every day with joy and a sense of gratitude. Visit Pam's website at www.ring-exchange.com. Her book is available on Amazon.com, too. Everyone deserves a happy life. Life is supposed to be fun. Your life is supposed to feel good, and you're meant to feel happiness in your life and to satisfy your dreams. And you can. Because the only reason anyone wants anything or does anything is that they think they will feel better in the having of it or the doing of it. They think they will feel better in the experiencing of it. Coming soon, a website where you can learn more on how you can have the life you deserve at afeelgoodworld.com.
you know, both Pat Bubash, Nick Heisel, and Pam Evans have written fantastic books. They are sponsors that have written amazing books, and I highly recommend them as gifts for family and friends. And Dale Bruner is another sponsor who has a fantastic website that we'll be sharing with everyone this year. We're back with Admir Serrano, and we were talking about the situation with sometimes suicide. People think suicide's going to solve all their problems. What are your thoughts on that, Admir?
No, it doesn't solve it. It makes it worse because we don't stop living, right? Even if the body dies, we continue as we have lived for time immemorial. So what we have, our problems that we have now, they're all passing. They're temporary. There's nothing that lasts forever. And the idea that suicide will solve your problems because you're going to annihilate your consciousness, you're going to numb your consciousness, you're going to dive into this black hole with no feelings or anything, that is a big mistake. Because you kill the body, but the spirit doesn't die. And we, as spirits, we have all our knowledge, everything that we have this mental body that has the record of all our existence, our thoughts, our feelings, and emotions. So at the moment that a person tries suicide and kills the body, because not the person, and is on the other side, the first thing is regret. Because what he or she thought that would solve the problem by dying, it didn't, because she or he is still alive, and now with the problem is even exacerbated. It got worse. Because now it didn't solve the problem, the anguish is still there, the sorrow is still there, the regrets is still there, and now there's a new one, which is the remorse for the mistake that the person made. So it's no answer.
Now, when we're talking about NDE and OBE, does this go along with reincarnation? What are your thoughts on reincarnation?
Well, no, it does not. We may, like, in depending on the state of lucidity that we are in when we are out of our body, we could access some memories of past lives. But that not necessarily prove the reincarnation or so forth. But it does prove our immortality. But there are many studies that reincarnation is the only answer, or the most plausible answer to what they're saying. Like the children, there are many cases of children who spontaneously remember past lives and start talking about past life when they start talking 1, 2, 3 years old. And there are many, and the University of Virginia has done a wonderful job researching those children. They have over 3,000 cases and been studying children's past life memories for over 50 years.
Wow. You know, I had an interesting experience with one of my grandchildren. They shared with me a past life experience in vivid detail. However, as they got older, they forgot about that. It was that when they were like 4 or 5 that this all came out. Somehow the memory lets go of those things, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it is a blessing. It is a blessing. So when they're talking, and that's about the age, when they start 1, 2, 3 until 4 or 5. So and then they talk it vividly. And then it starts fading because there are other memories that are coming. They're getting more experiences here. And even their brain waves start changing. But it is very important in what you said and our listeners out there. Because children, they can tell us, they can teach us a lot if we hear them, if we pay attention, listen to them, and don't dismiss that as fantasy. Because my daughter also used to mention a past life that she had. So I would probe for details, the names of people who, who she met, you know, she had this brother that she said, that she lived in New York, et cetera. So there are many. So we can learn from them. And we can learn our own immortality. And what I'd say, like when children start talking about a past life, we listen. We get details. We try to ask them more questions about their lives and stuff. And we learn a lot. It's beautiful.
It's an amazing experience because my grandchild, we were in the car, and my grandchild said, "Do you remember the time I saved you from the burning house?"
Now listen what he said. Do you remember when I saved you from the burning house? And he's still here. It's still family, January. It's still family. See, it's this huge connection that we have with all these people that we come around, that we've known for millennia, our children, grandchildren, nephews, friends, all those husbands, you know, spouses. We've been on this huge spiritual family that we are meeting again here for the purposes of mutual growth, one helping each other grow.
Mm-hmm. You know, when that comment happened, I said, I didn't know what to say. And I said, "Well, yes, I remember." And my grandchild said, "That's good because I felt so brave."
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty powerful stuff, isn't that? You know, Mira, I'd like you to share right now with my listeners your website. And also I'd like you to share how they can get your books and connect with you.
Okay. My website is my name and last name, Admir Serrano, AdmirSerrano.com. Mm-hmm. And I have a button there that the listeners could share their experiences, paranormal, out-of-body experiences, whatever that we've been talking about. It would be lovely to hear from them and see what their experiences have been. That would be great. My books are available on Amazon.com online and also in the major bookstores in the U.S., Barnes & Noble, Books and Millions. I don't know the different bookstores around the United States. But then Barnes & Noble, I know they have Nook, they have e-books too. So it's available out there, including my guide. That e-book was launched today on Amazon, giving suggestions, a manual, how to become conscious when we're sleeping so that mm-hmm. we can enjoy our out-of-body experiences.
Wow, that would be a fun opportunity for people listening. If you haven't had an out-of-body experience, Admir might be able to give you some help so you could achieve this amazing experience. Now, Admir, let's talk a little bit now. Let's talk a lot about the white light. We hear about that all the time. Actually, my publisher has asked me to do my next book on the white light experience. Have you been in the white light?
Well, not the way that is described in near-death experience, not that way. But I have been in a very, very bright environment, and that was a great, a wonderful, joyful experience.
Mm-hmm.
In near-death experience, the white light is something that makes, you know, it's very powerful to them. Because there's this transition. First, when they're out of the body, they get out of the body, and then they see the darkness. And then in the darkness, this pinprick point of light that is white and very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And as they approach the light, or the light approaches them, they're not sure, it starts mm-hmm. increasing, and then it opens up into a tunnel many times. And then they go through this tunnel. And then either flying or walking, sometimes by themselves, sometimes there's someone accompanying them. And then at the end of that journey, they see themselves in this spirit realm, what they call spirit realm. And then they see, you know, relatives who are diseased and some other spirits that they don't know, but they're there to welcome them. And that, and that is a very powerful thing. Now, when you think about it, in the scientific point of view, studying it, and the darkness and then the bright light and the opening of the tunnel, to me, it's like when we're changing dimensions. We're leaving the physical dimension, which has a more slower, grosser type of vibration, to this finer one. So the white light opening into a tunnel, the travel, and then ended up in the spiritual realm.
Now,
does
everyone who dies, does everyone see the white light, or do just certain people see it?
Well, in my experiences, autobiotic experiences, and from my research, they're both cases. For instance, some people may see the white light, and some people, when they're leaving the physical body at death or near death experience, they go right away for some reason. They're already inside. They're already in the spiritual environment that they're going to be living. If it's the death has been consummated, but if not, then they return. So some, it's not everybody, and it's not necessary that you follow that, because if you're living this, the physical body, you're in the spirit body, and you're vibrating a certain rate, you can right away step into the spiritual environment or non-physical environment right there without going through any transition. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it certainly does. It certainly does. And I know that a lot of people who have seen the white light and who have come back have shared these stories. And I think it's amazing that this is not a rare thing. We're hearing more and more from people who have gone through this. I think people now feel freer to talk about it. You know, a while back it
because
was unspoken.
that's right. That's right. So I'm glad that this is happening. We're becoming more open to listen to it. And there is this power, this huge power in the white light, because it has this power to draw the person towards it. And the beauty, and one thing that when you study, because we have a problem with skeptics, right? So the tunnel travel, the white light and the tunnel, or traveling through the light line, through the white light, towards the white light, to the tunnel, all the destination is always a spiritual realm. It's not some, you go through the tunnel and you end up, I don't know, in San Diego, for instance. There on the beach. Or in Hackensack, if your life wasn't that great.
You know, Admir, we're going to take a break and hear from some sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more about the white light and also the fact that people can experience the white light without having a near-death experience. We'll be right back with Admir Serrano.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Admir Serrano. I want everyone to know that Tom Ingracia will be on the show next week. Oh, no, actually, it's going to be tomorrow. And we're going to be talking with June Monteiro, who was in the famous singing group The Toys during the 60s. So I'm looking forward to that show. We're back with Admir Serrano, and we were talking about the white light. And to experience the white light, you do not necessarily have to be in a near-death experience, do you?
Well, there are cases that, like in meditation, for instance, yogis, for instance, they spend their lives meditating, trying to reach this or to transcend physical reality. Mm-hmm. And many times they have this transformation, this power that they end up eventually accessing this transcendence. And there is light, not only white light, but according to them, a lot of light, very bright. So meditation could be mystical experiences that the person meditating, saints have experienced that through, you know, a life of piety, a life of humble work and stuff. So at one point, it seems like a reward for all that spiritual pursuit through their lives and the humble living and all the hard times that they go through in pursuit of something bigger or like transcend or getting close to God or something, not necessarily only through near-death experience.
Well, you know, I'm certainly not a saint by any means. However, many, many years ago, during a dream time, I did experience the white light only one time. I certainly would love to do it again, but it's never happened again. And in the presence of the white light, it was just the most amazing, wonderful feeling. It gives you a feeling of understanding of the universe. And when I woke up, I was just crying. And it was because I had to leave the light. Once you're in it, you never, ever, ever want to leave it. So what a gift that was. Now you can see why my publisher wants me to do a book on this topic.
That's great. Yeah, you should. And those experiences, being a dream or during meditation, when you you access, you are there, then you're knowing by yourself that the greatness that you are, the interconnectedness of everything, of us and the universe, of us and our fellow humans, of us and the animals that surround us, the trees that give us shade and fruit, you know, that we have that, the beauty of life. We understand all that, and we do grow. We do become better than before experiencing that, because we know that we're not just this pack of bones and flesh like scientists want us to believe that, you know, mortal. No, there's a lot to us that we could know by ourselves that could change our lives for the better.
Well, now, tell me, one last question. Why do most scientists deny science in the existence of a soul and spirit?
Well, that it's interesting because there's been a paradigm shift a lot, because even materialist scientists, conventional science, there are many things that are happening that don't explain, they can't explain by normal means. Like after quantum physics, for instance, there are a lot of things that they can't understand, because for that thing, what they get in quantum physics to make sense, they have to put consciousness in it, because the person doing the experiment is also part of it, and he can change the effect of photons, for instance. So there's a lot of, some of them are already changing, and some of them, they are very concerned and concentrated on studying the material side of us, like our body parts and body process, which is good. And they may not necessarily deny the existence of a soul or spirit, but they just they're not concerned about it. So they leave that to philosophers and religious people to deal with that, and they just focus on what they can see and do, and those reactions that they can, you know, they call that conventional science has a handle on.
Sure. You know, this has been a most fascinating interview. I've looked forward to it, and it's been more than I ever thought it would be. I've enjoyed it. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. And Amir, I plan to have you back on the show because I have a million more questions to ask you. And I want to talk about actually each chapter in your book when we can. Hope you will come back, and thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, January, and good night, and also our listeners, good night, good life, and just keep experiencing this beauty of life with faith, patience, and no whining.
No whining, I love it. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our terrific show today. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you, just like Amir did today. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories, our struggles, and our secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of you to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, please stop with the whining and start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Amir Serrano. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
You are the first, and I would like to welcome you to January. Thank you. Thank you. She made one of her actions. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. eat some food here.
Let's get an addition to the response.
Eat the deli fire.
people say the metaverse will only be virtual. One day, this is not showing off who we need to be. And they'll be virtual students, what they learn to be. The person will be able to practice at any time, aid the potential before laying her hands on the patient. These students aren't really back in 32 BCE, but they can still watch what works for the people in the world. The metaverse may be virtual, but the impact
I got it. Thank you.